Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and our study, Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, titled, A Parable of a Fig Tree. This is Pastor Greg, and I'd like to invite you to contact us by sending any messages you'd like to our email. Our email address is BBFOhio@protonmail.com. Or you can send letters along with any check or money orders to support this ministry by addressing those to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio 43085. You can also contact us as well as donate on our website, bbfohio.com. And now we begin with a current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, titled, A Parable of a Fig Tree. This is part one of two.
This is our current events update. Hold your comments and questions to the end, please, as we do some headline reviews in the news. Number one, liberals don't like choice. All these years they've been saying, my body, my choice, and they don't mean it. Unless you choose to murder your baby, then they mean it. But this is from The Atlantic, which is a liberal, lopsided publication, and they say this, the nonsensical loophole in Biden's vaccine mandate. We were talking earlier about how that people have been swindled into allowing the government to do things that the government doesn't even have the power to do. And you have to stand and resist that lawlessness within our government and go through the courts, and 99 out of 100 times, you'll eventually have the truth established. We were talking about the 501c3 thing. It doesn't mean that a preacher can't talk just like I do and say the same things I do. But they've been swindled into thinking it does. Because the IRS actually was penalizing churches for speaking out when they didn't have the power. When finally some people stood up against them, the court said, yeah, you're right. The IRS doesn't have the power to tell you to shut up. As long as the majority of our work is not political in nature, and we don't endorse a particular party or even candidates you can actually endorse without officially endorsing them. In other words, I can stand up here and tell you that when one candidate is for killing babies and Marxism and the other isn't, that's my man. And they get over it if they don't like me telling you that, because that's the truth. But anyway, this vaccine mandate by Joe Biden, it's not in any way, shape, or form anything but a mirage at this point. And if he does sign something and claims it's an executive order, those are executive orders. Those aren't laws. And those executive orders are for the executive branch. So if your employer is trying to mandate vaccines and they claim it's because of Joe Biden, your employer is either willingly or unwillingly a dupe. And this is what they're angry about. The liberals don't like you having choice. And they say this. This is a way of demonstrating. A weather report can't replace an umbrella. And a coronavirus test can't replace a shot. So that's their complaint, is not mandating that vaccine and allowing you to just get a test, for example. They don't like that. This is from that article by The Atlantic. Tucked plainly into the rule is a singular and obvious opt-out. Unlike federal employees and contractors, those in the private sector can test for the coronavirus on an at least weekly basis, a no-jab alternative that makes the White House's decision quite a bit gentler than it could have been. So at the worst right now, your employer can require you to take a test, not get a vaccine. And along with that, unless your employer is somehow beholden to the federal government, if your employer is taking money from the federal government or something like that, then they pretty much have to say, when they say jump, they ask how high. But if not, your employer is under no legal requirement. The only thing the federal government can do is not give you money or not give you something that you're getting from the federal government. But that's how they worked around the Constitution now for about 150 years. Yeah. They've passed laws, passed legislation that give money to the schools, for example. Yeah. And now if the schools don't do what they tell them to, they pull the money back. not because they have the power constitutionally, but because they buy them. And so that's what's going on. And the fact is, the vaccine mandate doesn't even exist yet, as I said. This is from the Federalist, just one of the more well-known and trustworthy sources. Joe Biden's vaccine mandate doesn't exist. It's just a press release. Now, number one, whoever told you that this was a law and was in place, turn them off. You now know they're a bad source of information. That's ABC, NBC, CBS, CNN, Fox News, you know, any of these people who are telling you these things, they're not trustworthy, even if they're not purposely scamming you, which most of them are. But even if they're not a trustworthy source of information. This is how the article starts. It says, Americans are no longer living under representative government. We are living under government by the screen people, of the screen people, for the screen people. Americans have submitted to the news media as though that's God, instead of realizing the news media is your enemy. Not the people reading the script, those poor models. They're basically models. They're spokespersons, but they're not. They're the people who write the scripts on the teleprompters that the people on TV are reading. They are Marxists. They hate your Constitution and they want to destroy your country, as you know it. And that's what we are now living under. People will tell you something as a matter of fact. Where did they get that information? From people we know who lie. They get it from their news media, and then they want to tell you that's the fact. And you try to tell them, no, go look it up. And Charlie and I had a conversation yesterday. The Constitution has been so whacked out back and forth. The Constitution, for example, says Congress shall pass no law. Doing what? Establishing religion, abridging freedom of speech. Congress cannot pass those laws. But that just means the federal government can't. Your state can. And your local governments, as long as they don't get squashed by the state. That's how originally our country was set up. We were sovereign states, a union of sovereign states. And that's been destroyed. The 10th Amendment was supposed to spell that out, and it's just basically been destroyed by the courts with their precedent. It would take way too long to explain all that. But that's just a fact. Here's Wall Street Journal. Where is Biden's vaccine mandate? It may prove more useful as a sort of Damocles, than a real requirement. It says, they call it Biden's lawless vaccine mandate in an earlier opinion piece. And in this piece, it says a more accurate headline would be Biden's non-existent vaccine mandate. Surprisingly, referring to the men who, the people who wrote the previous piece, often use the present tense when discussing the mandate. This could lead people to believe that a non-existent mandate carries the full force of federal authority. And it does not, unless you're a federal employee. The mandate's non-existent shields the Biden administration from legal challenges. In other words, they're making you believe this is happening, but because they haven't actually tried to put it in law, they don't have to worry about going to court over it. These people are slick, man. Yeah. Yeah. The hiss of the serpent.
And then they want to fine people over.
Yeah.
They can't.
Yeah. At this point, it is only applicable to federal agencies.
But they haven't done that yet.
Yeah.
But they're holding this correct.
Now, they could still make it legal on paper, and then that would have to be challenged in court.
Yes.
But at this point, that hasn't been done. So that leads into number two. The theme of our current events update is stop believing what you're being told. Headline scream, Noah's Ark has been found.
Again.
And this is in the Turkish mountains. Biblical archaeologists recently discovered a boat-like formation matching the biblical description of Noah's Ark in eastern Turkey using 3D scans. According to the U.S. Sun, the discovery was made by archaeologists associated with the project Noah's Ark Scans. But wait, what's this? Ken Ham, skeptical that Noah's Ark has been discovered. Quote, "This isn't a new find." And that's the thing, this isn't new. The only thing that's new is they claim to do these scans and find something. That's what the article says, or this is a quote from Ken Ham. "This isn't a new find. It was first postulated as an ark site back in 1959 and has been disputed and refuted ever since, including by Christians and creationists who believe God's word and would certainly love to find the ark, although we don't have to." And see, that's the thing that happens is they keep coming up and they say, "Oh, we found the ark." And then when they're not able to actually prove it, then people, it actually hurts their faith in God's word. And it shouldn't one way or the other. Whether or not we find an ark or not doesn't change the geological and scientific evidence we have for a global flood at about the time that the Bible says, or at the time that the Bible says. Ham wrote on his blog, "Has Noah's Ark been found? We would say no." And we stick with that as well. I'm all for archaeology, by the way. I love what they've been able to discover, a lot of interesting stuff. But don't buy hype. When you see something, especially on social media, if you're on there, first, verify. Then trust. Don't trust and share it and tell everybody, and then go and see if it's true. You got the cart before the horse when you do that. Demand proof. It's amazing how many times somebody will post something, and it's just a fancy-looking meme or something, and I'll say, "Well, wait a minute, where are you getting the information? What's this based on?" And they get angry at you. Like, you're not supposed to ask for any evidence for what you're saying. Don't let that be you. Let people get angry. Ask for proof. Don't just buy things. So let's get into our study now in Luke 13:6-9. A parable of a fig tree. There's a reason I didn't use the word the. Word a parable of a fig tree. Our English teacher, what's the difference between a and the?
Oh, brother. The is usually more specific. Like, it's one in particular that we've been talking about and that I might know.
One in particular. That's and it's called a definite article, the. Indefinite article, a. Just want everybody to be clear about that. It's a very important thing as you read the Bible. There's times where there's a definite article, the, and then other times an indefinite article, a. And that makes all the difference a lot of times. What?
These words mean something.
They do. Very important.
My kids on the all the time.
There's little words sometimes. The word if can make or break a lot of times. Little words are important. So this is the second of four events before Jesus turns toward Jerusalem on his final journey to the cross. So the next couple of weeks we'll cover the last two. And then, now as you can see in your Bible, it's several chapters, it's 10 chapters of journey that we're going to go through. But it's just nice to know where you're at as you're reading through the books of the Bible. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. And I'm going to ask you to join and read the odd verses with me as I read. So I'll start in verse 6. "He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down."
Amen.
Amen. So we left off last week with Jesus saying, repent. Except ye repent, you shall all likewise perish. We had good discussion in our Sunday school this morning of the necessity of calling men to repentance. You preach the gospel. We have it back there in its simplicity on the wall and the banner. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Only Jesus is sinless. Jesus, when He died on the cross, He died for our what?
Sins.
We present that gospel and how that He was buried but rose again after 3 days. He conquered sin and death. Well, what do? Then you call on men to repent and believe the gospel. And it is my contention for many years now, the reason why we're seeing churches die, and even churches with people in them who are spiritually dead, is because you start wrong, you end wrong. If you don't start with repentance and faith in that gospel, then you end up filling your pews or your chairs with unsaved people. People who haven't really been born again. And that's when they bring in the preachers they want, the ones that will itch the ears, the ones that will preach what they want to hear rather than what you ought to hear. If you come here week after week and the only thing you ever hear from me or John or whoever's preaching, if the only thing you ever hear is what you want to hear, go find another church.
Yeah.
You ought to be hearing some things you don't really in your flesh want to hear.
Yeah. Amen.
See? That's why they killed Jesus. By the way, so verse 6, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. How many of you have fig trees in your yard? Nobody? Have you ever seen a fig tree before? Well, it's a good thing that I planned this. Let's start by familiarizing ourselves with the fig tree and its fruit. From a distance, that's what a fig tree would look like. Some bigger, some smaller, but that's a general grown fig tree out on ancient ruins. This is what a fig looks like. You cut that thing open. I have personally never actually had a fig and cut it open. I have eaten Fig Newtons. See? Yeah. As a matter of fact, one thing my wife always has around the house, most of the time in the kitchen. Fig Newtons. Also, figgy pudding. I've been begging for years for somebody to bring in figgy pudding for Christmas. But maybe this will be the year. It looks good though, doesn't it? Yeah. So with that background, we read verses 6 and 7 together. Says, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. That's not good. There should be figs on there. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree. 3 years without fruit. That's bad. And found none. Then he says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Now, I have to say again, I don't always use my wife as an illustration, but yes, I do. And she loves this last phrase, and her two sons quote it often because they've heard it growing up. Why cumbereth it the ground? And she can tell you all the ways that phrase can be used in daily conversation. Pretty much anything you don't like, you don't want in your way, you don't want in your house, you don't want near you. Why cumbereth it the ground? Her other favorite verse or phrase is, it's all going to burn, but that's for another time. So y'all knew more than you let on. I mean, I was thinking you guys never seen a fig before. I'm like, what? Because you asked that question, a fig tree without figs? Well, I believe Jesus is speaking prophetically of the nation of Israel. Again, that's what we've been talking about in the previous studies. In the last study, when he said, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. He was confronting the nation who, at that time, were in the process of rejecting the Messiah. See? And I believe that's what he's talking about here. If you count the years from Adam to Solomon, it went from about 4,000 to 1,000 B.C. Well, this would be 3 days, prophetically, from Adam to Solomon. 2 Peter 3:8, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It would be equally true to say one day with the Lord is like 1,000,000,000 years. He's an eternal God. There's a reason why the Scripture, though, gives us this indicator of 1,000. Because you can say a day with the Lord is as any amount of time, but in Psalms and other places, we see this play out with a day and 1,000 years and 1,000 years a day prophetically playing out. So in verse 8 says, "And he answering said unto him, Lord, let alone this year also till I shall dig about it and dung it." The best fertilizer is manure, dung. And so it makes sense that it's what you would do with a tree that wasn't bearing fruit. And it's a very apt description of the division of the kingdom when it says, let alone this year till I shall dig about it and dung it. And he didn't just totally take away the kingdom, but he split the kingdom at the 1000 B.C. mark with Solomon. His son Rehoboam came. The kingdom is split, and it suffers tremendously, but it remains intact for some time. So the Messiah then came at the end of the fourth day. Creation around 4000 B.C., Jesus shows up at the year zero, we would hope. Actually, our calendars are off. We're not exactly sure if it is 4 B.C., 3 B.C. when he was actually born. And but B.C. means before Christ. Do you know that?
Yes.
So make sure. Sorry. Thought I heard a little ringing noise back there. So the Messiah came at the end of that fourth day when he says, let it alone this year also. So the next verse then describes what would happen after Israel rejected Jesus. So look at verse 9. If you're there, read it with me. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. And that's what happens. It actually would come to fruition 70 A.D. And so the fig tree... Another reason why I believe this is speaking of Israel is because that's prophetically in numerous places, the fig tree speaks of Israel. And I believe this is no different. God will deal with sin and rebellion. That's an overall message you get over and over in the Gospels and the Gospel of Luke. You can sin. And you can enjoy it for a season. And you can even get by with it for some amount of time. But at some point, if you're a child of God, God will deal with you more swiftly. If you see unsaved people who don't even claim to be Christians and they're living in sin and everything, God doesn't deal with them as children. He will convict them of their need of salvation. He doesn't really deal with their profanity, their sexual immorality, their drug use, their alcohol abuse, or whatever the sin might be. He will only really use those things in so much as he is pointing you to your need of salvation. And so that's why you'll see the wicked getting by with sin. From our point of view. But again, let's say they live to be 75 years old. 75 years of living in sin without Christ and they die. They didn't get by with much. I don't care how much sinning they did in those 75 years. They are now eternally in hell separated from God. When we come to Luke 16, we're going to talk specifically about what Jesus taught when it comes to the wicked not getting away with sin. And where they go when this life is over. However, the fig tree was cut down, but not out. You got to keep that in mind as well. Israel was cut down, but not out. We don't have time, by the way, to run the dozens of passages that we could. But just to lay this out for you, Scripture with Scripture. The best commentary on the Bible is the
Bible.
Amen. Jesus will give the rest of the story in another parable of the fig tree. Just curious, how many of you know what I'm referencing when I say the rest of the story?
Yeah.
Show your age. Come on, show your age.
Yeah.
I say that every once in a while, and the youngins just look at me like, good day. Yeah, look it up. Look it up. That's what the internet's for. Luke 21. Go over to Luke 21. We're going to be more in depth about this when we get to it. But Luke 21, 29 through 36. This is why I say it's a parable of a fig tree, because here's another parable of another fig tree. Luke 21:29 says, "And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Now if the fig tree is Israel..." Amen? If the fig tree is Israel,